Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
And we're back on Grassroots Marketing with a returning guest who we actually had on April of last year as he was getting things set up with a project which was building the nation's first hotel chain where guests can consume cannabis on site and a legally licensed lounge, adding one of the most unique and exciting amenities in hospitality today, the Keystone location for the 420 Hotels Incorporated and the Patterson Inn. And joining me right now is the CEO and founder of the 420 Hotels. Welcoming back to the program, Chris Chiari. Chris, thanks for being back on.
Thanks for having me back.
So when we talked to you last time, we specifically spoke at length about the Patterson Inn and the setup. And one of the interesting things we talked about upon getting things set up for the hotel was how you were going to be able to go and have the hotel be cannabis friendly and be able to have smoking allowed. Well, that's an ongoing story right now when it comes to where things are going with getting all the things set up for approval for the HVAC. So the setup for the air conditioning, the venting system, and that has been something that's been worked on. I'm looking westward. That talks about the story where most recently you added a lounge into the hotel, which has already celebrated its 1-year anniversary. And that's the tavern. I'm looking back quickly. The 12 Spirits Tavern that you have on site. Congratulations on that. But let's talk about this real quick about trying to get everything all set up so that you can have rooms in the hotel that will be able to coincide with other rooms that will not have any cannabis smoking on site. So
remember, you're never going to be able to smoke in the guest room. And it has first and foremost to do with the structure of state law here in Colorado that requires a cannabis hospitality lounge to in a sense, be proctored, a lifeguard, someone in that space able to observe, engage, and interact with the customer that's consuming. That's by design, as far as the state. You also need cameras anywhere that's a cannabis hospitality lounge. Then you also have to be able to lock it down or vacate it or make sure no one can consume in there after 2 a.m. And right there, none of that works if the goal is to rent someone a room to sleep in overnight, because just the fact that I'd have to kick you out at 2 o'clock in the morning and let you back in at 7 a.m. doesn't work. So what I've been working on and creating is that next step beyond cannabis friendly, which there are solutions being offered in the market. As a consumer, I hunt them down myself, but I'm looking to recognize that as another niche or segment, even in not just hotels, but in cannabis hospitality, there's a large segment of the consuming population, especially new consumers, older consumers, that really are looking for the legitimacy of license. And so I say that the legitimacy of license, or that state issued and local issued license that no one has yet achieved, but very few operations. We've got one here in Colorado, but nothing in a big major city like Las Vegas or Denver yet, though several of us are trying, right? But what we're doing is creating the next level of the cannabis industry, which is cannabis hospitality. And cannabis hospitality, in my opinion, is licensed.
And we've talked about Las Vegas for a while. I know there's about 50 licensees right now that are looking to go and get themselves set up, and they want to be able to set up before the major hotels, but the major hotel chains there, the Caesars, the Harrah's, they don't want to do anything right now with consumption lounges until after legalization. So there's
Can't touch it because of the gaming. 1,500 feet from gaming establishments is
which gives more than enough of a ramp for consumption lounges to be built and established. beforehand and looking to do what you can. Now, have you had any that have been looking to do consumption lounges to take upon what you've done at 12 Spirits, what you've done with the hotel? And have you gotten a lot of outreach because of the publicity you've gotten for being one of these first establishments a year ago, setting up hospitality in Denver? Talk to me about what's been the feedback from other business owners looking to get into the same field.
I've had conversations in other jurisdictions and everyone's running into the same thing. HVAC. My engineer has asked, let me get this through. Let's get this one we're trying to do through so they can even prove they have a path forward with what they've designed. So it's, you know, one foot in front of the other and the horse in front of the cart. And here we are trying to slog back into a mature bureaucracy. And what I've ran into was just someone asking relevant questions, but the way we kept running into these new challenges that made every goal line a moving line has put us now into what it's in my inbox. It's now the fourth draft. I believe we are now there with an inline filtration system where we can prove the removal of both particulates as well as volatiles, the two measurements of filtration requirements in order to create safe, refiltered or recycled air. We're able to maintain a level of fresh air in the room that keeps everyone safe and, you know, breathing oxygen, because that's, you know, important in any type of enclosed space, especially when it's negatively charged and designed with the control of air at its core. All of these pieces, all of these challenges, I now have both studies that show the ability at load and capacity to what will be moving to filter this air, have designs that show what this looks like and how large it'll be and how much space this HVAC system is going to take up in the room below my lounge. So we're there. But this has been the greatest and longest hurdle to get to where I am now, has been finding, again, I have, and any of us can go and design HVAC systems that will meet the codes or standards that have been established here in Denver and that are being established in the city of Las Vegas. But there was just a piece on the local news in Las Vegas about one of the lounges, and they rightly went beyond just the cost of installing the system. They talked about the operating costs of those systems. And so it's one thing to put in a $500,000 HVAC system for a really large establishment. But when you start talking about another $6,000 to $10,000 a month in operating costs to heat and cool the amount of air you're moving, this becomes significant. My space is smaller, much more intimate at 950 square feet, right, but I'm still looking at an HVAC system that should be well over $100,000. And my concerns were even operating costs in the $3,000 to $4,000 a month range, especially in the peaks of the seasons just here in Denver. And those were my concerns and motivations to find recirculation. Recirculation is all about efficiency, that we're putting in mechanical systems that should have useful lives with these businesses succeed of 20, 25 years. And the operating costs of that equipment, the maintenance of that equipment, the cost of filtration has to be factored into any business model that's looking to incorporate cannabis hospitality. And it is now the reality that we can get the policy. All of us policy people have been working on this for years. We can fight and get the policy. We can get the wins at the state level, at the local level. We'll get it at the federal level at one point, but it will ultimately be rulemaking at whatever level of government, what that looks like. And that is unfortunately where these processes sometimes can get stymied. And here we are almost 2 years after Denver brings this along and still waiting for any of us to open in Denver. And we're all dealing with the same hurdle. HVAC.
Yeah.
Rolling into some sponsors, but we'll be right back with more Blunt Business.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Well, because there has never been any real significant changes after all these Clean Indoor Air Acts, which we talked about on the last episode back in April of last year. We mentioned a point of we used to have smoking and non-smoking rooms, but we can't go back and reverse that back again. And unless there's something that can be done, you know, it's funny. I've been watching where this is off into a real tangent, but I always think of where Disney World, I'm thinking, well, they always have a mosquito problem, pest control problem. And to try to curb that so that people can have a comfortable experience and not have to deal with it. And the kind of efforts they make to go ahead and make that happen. But the thing is, they haven't really given much. It's interesting where Colorado right now, there are vague regulations when it comes to consumption lounges. And if it would coincide with all these Clean Indoor Air Acts and what they're able to do and do, where I don't know if they've gotten any real of an issue so far where, I mean, you're making individually the effort with the HVAC issues to try to make something where you can go ahead and sustain, you can make the business where you want it to be, where it's not just the lounges. You can also do something with the rooms maybe at some point. But there is nothing that's out there where regulation doesn't really give too much of a guidance to it when they're trying to set up the lounges. And then
well, here's the good news.
Yeah, go ahead.
We had a really great piece on Denver 7 a couple weeks ago that ran all weekend. It was a 5-minute piece that really dove deep. And the person who was running the segment, Jessica Crawford, is a lawyer. And so the segment really went into where the city's stance on this is, what we've tried to accomplish on my end, and some other voices around the topic, especially as it relates to some other jurisdictions. And luckily in Denver, they are being very specific. It's ASHRAE, which is this international body that governs air quality. It's IAQ standards for mechanical systems and the movement of air in an enclosed smoke-filled room. It was the issue very specific to 60 cubic feet per minute, which becomes that code and standard, which for me, it's all built around occupancy. It's where there was a deviation in Las Vegas. That's built around how many times the air in the room moves over in an hour. In my case, it's based upon occupancy, a better standard that actually results in a smaller system, but designed based on occupancy to move sufficient air to modern cigar lounges are certainly not smoked out spaces like they were a long time ago. I don't know if you ever took an Amtrak train on the East Coast back when they used to have the smoking car, but that was the part of my life in college when I was a cigarette smoker, and you'd go through an air curtain into this cloud. Mm-hmm. It won't be like that, and that's basically by design with international standards. Where the city hit me, or where the one department hit me ultimately with a hurdle that is a burden that I'm not sure what the solution is, asked me that it to prove that there was no exposure to secondhand THC for the staff. And my immediate response was, there is exposure to secondhand THC. Here's how we're going to mitigate glass dome around the workstation so that the team can observe like a lifeguard and a proctor, can engage as needed, but most of their shift can be spent in an isolated, separate HVAC zone that is a different air supply and fresh air. Right. So we've already built that in. And the reply, and I also asked if there was an equivalent to tobacco that in, when you look at cigar lounges, what is the standard of safe exposure to secondhand nicotine for employees? And the reply was that there is not any consideration for that in a cigar lounge, though we're making that consideration here for THC. And I was told, I'm not looking for you to prove you can mitigate. I'm asking you to prove it's not there in the first place. They backed away from that standard because it's an unachievable and unreasonable burden. That's the same thing that happened with ASHRAE. It's likely someone asked, how much secondhand nicotine can you be exposed to? And someone realized the simple asking of the question, if the goal is to create this policy and to create a path forward for these types of businesses to exist, then some questions have to be left at the door. And that's one of them.
I want to ask about one of the things as you're doing the same thing right there in Colorado. And I mentioned about, we were already talking about Vegas a couple of times. I had a guest on back in October last year, Christopher Laporte, managing partner with Reset Las Vegas and the Thrive.
That's who I spoke to last week. Thank you. I just, you know.
Yeah. And so he spoke with Channel 3 News in Las Vegas, and he's talking about the cost for this HVAC system to set up for something at his venue. So as he mentions, quote, the HVAC systems is a requirement to move air every 2 minutes, basically twice that what a cigar bar or a hookah lounge has to do. And he says it would cost an estimated $400,000 to install the necessary HVAC system to meet the stringent ventilation requirements. And on top of that, a monthly electric bill of $7,000. Jesus, that's a lot. And a lot. For anybody else, I mean, it's an overwhelming cost. But I mean, I don't know if it's something where it just feels, it almost feels discriminatory to me to have to go and put so much more effort when, well, I mean, I don't know how the other casinos are right now or other venues about smoking what they have in there, even though it's not hospitality in terms of, it's just.
So here's what happened in Las Vegas. In Las Vegas, it's 30 turns per hour is the standard. Okay. So you have to turn the air in a lounge, a cannabis lounge, once every 2 minutes. Uh-huh. That means the total volume of the room every 2 minutes needs to be replaced with fresh air. Under international standards, right? It's supposed to all be fresh air. I have found this path towards recirculated air so that we'll be able to recirculate a portion of that air as long as we can filter it to equal to or better standards. And that allows us then to build on therms and heat in the winter. It allows us to strip that heat and build on that cooled air in the summer so that we're getting that benefit of recirculating system as far as it comes to the efficiency of operation. And that was the whole core of what I've been trying to build. Doesn't make the system any cheaper, just makes it, at least from an operating standpoint, more efficient to operate. In Las Vegas, they didn't go by standards based on occupancy. They fixed it to turns, 30 turns per hour. Casinos are CFM, cubic feet per minute, which is based on an occupancy or per person. And there it's 30 CFM per person. So in Denver, for my lounge, they're enforcing a 60 cubic feet per minute per person standard, or a 20 by 20 by 20 box of air per person per minute is what I need to move. Because I have low ceilings, it's about once every 3 minutes. So I'll have 20 turns per hour. And that's just a product of my room. Let's go now to a Las Vegas casino. They're 30 CFM, half the standard of what I have, with 40-foot ceilings. And so in my case, I have to turn the room over once every 3 minutes because I have a 10-foot ceiling. If I had a 20-foot ceiling, I could turn the air over in the room half as often because it's based off occupancy of the footprint, not volume of air in the room. If I had a 40-foot ceiling, I'd be turning the air over in this room once every 15 minutes, once every 12 minutes, or four times an hour, four turns. So the fact that they went with 30 turns for a cannabis hospitality lounge, as opposed to 30 CFM, like you would see with a casino for smoking, for tobacco, that is the deviation. Subtle, possibly a mistake in committee, something that could easily be fixed, but needs to be fixed now through policy, possibly legislative action, possibly municipal action at the city council level, followed by rulemaking and implementation. And there you go. Right back to this very circuitous process. But that's where I believe one of the mistakes, if they had gone with a 30 CFM standard, those systems would be maybe half that price, that their operation with recirculating air would go from 7,000 a month, maybe down to 1,000, 1,500 a month. That starts to become barriers to entry, but not as cost prohibitive, certainly, as what Chris describes with 400,000 installation and 7,000 a month in operating costs.
Both right now, you're actually just doing great work in terms of setting up the blueprint. So eventually when legalization comes in and all these other areas that are looking to go into consumption lounges, which are already being set up. We know New York and New Jersey want to have that set up. I've already seen there was a suburban Chicago cafe and bakery setting up a consumption lounge as well. And all these different areas without having to go through the efforts of trying to keep it in an indoor space, without having to go through and, you know, it's not like everybody can be in Florida where they can go and have smoking outdoors and have all these outdoor areas because of the, you know, the climate of where you are in Vegas or Denver. So you have to figure out some other way. And so this is good to have this here. It's like you're basically creating, you know, what would be almost like it's just the right indoor environment that will be applied then for any other state after this is said and done. Once we get other consumption lounges to be allowed, but you'll be the front runners of this.
I believe what I'm building is something that's then scalable to other jurisdictions and big cities, that navigating through this big city, small town a bureaucracy of Denver. It's still a 750,000 person city, the same size as Boston, not greater Boston, but the city of Boston and Denver are about the same size now. So we have mature bureaucracy here and navigating and refining a path to not just build this, throw this together and say, look, we've built a cannabis lounge. I'm trying to build a business. Dealing and recognizing the great uncertainties associated with can and will cannabis hospitality work. A number of people are very certain that it will. A number of people are very certain that it won't. And I'm trying to thread that line by pairing this with an already successful cash flow positive operating business in a hotel, add new appeal and a attraction to the business I already offer, which is the Patterson Inn. The bar is now open for a year, so we're generating new cash flow from having a tavern open in the neighborhood, building new relationships with the audience that lives within walking distance. We advertise within a square mile because it's the parents of young people in the heart of Capitol Hill that make up the bulk of my guests in the hotel upstairs. So the bar is cash flowing, paying the mortgage now, while also acting as a really fun neighborhood engagement tool to build greater awareness for our target audience.
Yeah, it's great work.
Rolling into some sponsors, but we'll be right back with more Blunt Business.
We're going to see then, as the scalability comes into play, finalized, you'll have it there. You already can see where the dispensaries are going to find some way after a while. They're going to want to be able to attach some kind of a lounge for themselves. Those kind of things will happen, just like how you have alcohol will be sold next to a bar.
Tasting rooms for bars, right?
That's the next step. But it's this scalability right here. If something can be done that can be streamlined so that other businesses can have this after the consumption lounges, it's the idea where to do this in Vegas and to do it where you're doing in Denver, it's wonderful because now you're getting the setup where everybody else is going to want to follow suit. It's going to be a matter of time. By the way, the funding you've gotten so far to be able to get the Patterson up, I want to make a point. You mentioned this on LinkedIn, a post of appreciation that in a year's time, 373 people to this point have become owners of the business. And what you did was you got $250,000 in direct support from an emerging growth company, early stage development, and you went and did a start engine campaign, 100 new investors, along with the 273 that were previously camping on Republic. All that together, over $56,000 raised from all this together. And so the constant funding for those that want to be a part of this effort too, and also be a shareholder in the DES effort. Talk to me about that.
No current campaigns running, but we did, again, raise just about $250,000 in the first 12 months of offering equity opportunities in the company through the crowdfund space. Did a campaign on Republic and a campaign on Start Engine. I'm looking to do another campaign going forward. It's time now to bring the next reviewed financials. But what I'm really excited about and proud of about the first year of our capital campaign is, this was all done off of the inception financials for the 420 hotels from April of 2021, its first month of operation, which simply showed its startup costs, which were a few thousand dollars in fees. I didn't yet show any of the transactions, though they are included in our Form Cs that have been filed with the SEC through the two campaigns that show the transaction, that show the 420 Hotels owns the Patterson Inn, 12 Spirits Tavern, and is the partner with me on the cannabis license. That's all fully disclosed. But when it comes to a reviewed financial that shows that, that hasn't happened yet. That's in the works right now. We're starting that process right now. I've been working with the bookkeeper to consolidate the financials for the 420 Hotels that now memorializes its ownership of the hotel, its cash flow, its revenue, and its assets. So that's now happened and moving to the next level, which sets us up for another crowdfund opportunity, which I'm hopeful will happen before the end of this year. But this will be the first time, right now, zero assets, zero liabilities, and still 370 plus investors joined us, brought $250,000 in startup capital to the part of this business that, is beyond its core operating hotel and has moved us into this new space around licensing and design and build out and HVAC and the schooling it's taken to become proficient enough in this topic to navigate through the policy side or the rulemaking side as we now push to open. So there's another campaign in our future, but the next campaign will show that the Patterson is a $3 million asset, a hotel. yes, we have liabilities and debt in the form of our primary mortgage and some financing. Yes, we have revenue. And so this emerging growth company with a few hundred investors that's just starting down its path of growth and building in the emerging growth space, which I designed this company to build through, we're now an asset, we're now revenue, we're now operating. Patterson is 10 years old. I've had it. My five-year anniversary is coming up tomorrow.
Congratulations.
Whenever you share this, but you know, I'm 5 years now. That's we've gotten past those hurdles. How many businesses make it this far?
No. With everything you've done, Chris, like I said, setting the trend and putting a bar up there so that, you know, again, I like that you're looking to build that better mousetrap. And again, I'm like I said, in the last year, been able to get to the approval, get to where things are, where now you have the bar out there. You're going to work things more to even make more amenities available for those at the Patterson Inn in Denver, Colorado. And then on top of that, you know, the outreach you're getting, because Las Vegas is not that far away. They want to be able to replicate some of the same ideas you're doing over there, but you started it first. Thank you for being on and letting us know about it.
Let me show you and just share one cannabis moment for a guest in my hotel that I believe I offer that any other tasting room concept or cannabis hospitality concept will lack.
Okay.
Your trip's over. You're getting ready. You're packed. You're ready to leave your room. Your ride to the airport is figured out, however you'll get there. And you look in your hand and you open up that little case that you purchased at the dispensary, and you have one more dog walker left. You're not going out of your way to go to this place, out of your way to have that last dog walker. Most might just go outside and smoke it there on the curb, waiting for an Uber or their cab. Hopefully no one cares. Off to the side, we found these friendly options. But if you're staying in a hotel that offers this type of safe space as an amenity to your experience, and you were the discerning customer that was shopping for a cannabis experience, then my intimate boutique hotel offers you a convenience right downstairs where you'll take that last dog walker, maybe buy one more beverage, and enjoy those last few tokes before you get your ride to the airport. And that is an amenity to overnight hospitality that I think just pairs well and is the type of cannabis-based experience that will make my destination, I believe, unique compared to the other market presentations around cannabis hospitality right now.
Wonderful. So let's just wrap things up real quick and make mention of for our listeners how they can go ahead and make reservations if they want to right now to go visit the Patterson Inn in Colorado, and also keep in touch with future funding opportunities to be a shareholder. What should they do, Chris?
PattersonInn.com. We won an award for one of the best hotels last year here in Colorado. Proud of that. So our core business is sound. Look for Da Vinci or Royale, two of my guest rooms that have private patios. I cannot imply or express consent, but it opens a space for adults to make, you know, responsible decisions. We have a courtyard that's accessible to all guests, where you can take your drink from the bar. Please, if you decide to make a decision out there, we may have to come and engage because we can't imply or express or allow. But these are the types of, you know, realities that we, you know, the world is starting to offer. And you might see where I'm going with that, right? Solutions that may already be and present themselves as available as we're moving towards now this indoor licensed space. The licensed space becomes something more exclusive, more unique, and more all season. And I do believe scalable. So the 420 Hotels, T-H-E 420 Hotels with an S.com, the 420hotels.com, PattersonInn.com. Patterson Inn is open. 10-year anniversary was last November. My five-year anniversary is now right here at the end of May of 23 as we move into the next chapter. And the 420 Hotels is a great place to keep up on some of the news that we've been generating, as well as a link to our annual report, which shows now our consolidated financials, assets, and revenue, and is also the link that will be available to steer people towards campaigns that will launch here in the future.
Chris, thanks so much for being on with us as always. And for listeners, if you didn't get a chance to catch it, you can also find it at CannabisRadio.com. Chris actually also had a great feature interview with Bethany Moore over at NCIA's Cannabis Industry Voice, talking about the emerging industry of cannabis tourism and licensed hospitality. Go ahead and look for that episode. It's already up right now. NCIA's Cannabis Industry Voice, look at that. And as always, Chris, thanks for being on with us. Really appreciate you taking time out, and let's continue to follow your journey on this and see where things go over down the line.
Please, thank you for the time today.
All right.
The opinions expressed on this CannabisRadio.com program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of CannabisRadio.com. Any rebroadcast, republication, or retransmission of this program without proper consent is prohibited.